ね、
Our Kayanamita funds has actually donated these two transcript books. The first one is the yellow one. Yellow one is the law of dependent origination, or we call Paticca Samuppada. This was based on the 2005 talk that I gave it at Selangor Vipassana. Then they did it into a transcript. I think this is the third or fourth reprint already. Yeah? So if you haven't got a copy, you can request from Brother Suyan afterwards. Yeah? The original first three edition was exactly the same, but blue color. Yeah? Blue color. So this time, because we did the transcript for our 13th of September last year, yeah? Thursday class, typical meditation. That one was very good because it described in detail what is meditation. Then the Q&A question were very relevant. It gives a very clear explanation of the essential dhammas and all the related things that you need to know about meditation. So this book you keep and you will have to read through, so that when you come for the session, Thursday class, we can save about half an hour at least, so that we have more time for Dhamma this year. Otherwise, I need to repeat the instruction and everything. You come straight away when we start, you can meditate, then it will save us a fair bit of time. Okay? So, the blue book is printed in small print. If you have problem with your eyesight, you can exchange for a smaller or bigger print. This one is for people above 55. This one is almost double the size. So you can come and exchange for it. So that is what you need to know. So we should rejoice because Kayanamita funds donate, everybody get to participate in the wholesomeness. We say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then the other good news is Brother Suyan and Mi Fong together with who was it? The one? Monica. I know. We use the Kayanamita fund to buy this whiteboard. So now you can have a better big screen for you to actually develop the better understanding of the Dhamma. Because a lot of things that are discussed or spoken, if it's not written, you may not get it so clearly. Yeah? But because we have a whiteboard now, you can actually, through your perception, bring forth the understanding. Otherwise, you have to try to guess what pronunciation or words that I use. Anasana. Then sometimes the word, if it's not written down, like the Pali word, apamada, or the spiritual faculty, or sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya, all these are there. Yeah? So you can see the Pali, you can see the translation, the English. Yeah? So I don't have to write and repeat. So this will help us in the sharing. Yeah? Again, you can rejoice because our Kayanamita fund actually donated this whiteboard and all the related accessories like the marker pen, the duster, the magnet, and whatever. So you all can rejoice on your own. Okay, now 8:30, we can start our puja. So you compose your mind as usual, develop the faith, the very strong sadha in the Buddha and his teaching. Then with the firm sadha, develop the virya, the spiritual zeal, to strengthen these two spiritual faculties. Then you pay respect to Lord Buddha mindfully, so that the third spiritual faculty or sati can also be developed. You can sit somewhere in front here. Our sister, you can sit in front if you want. Or you shy. Okay. Okay, now we start our puja. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will start. Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Huh? Okay, tonight I think everybody has come before. Huh? Nobody is new. Huh? So, presumably, most of you all must have read through the transcript. Huh? And you already have a good idea of what meditation is, so that we don't have to waste the unnecessary 15 to 20 minutes or sometimes half an hour on instruction and all this thing. Anyway, just to refresh those who has been here earlier but has not been here for quite a while, you look at the whiteboard. On the extreme right, you have the five mental hindrance. They call pancha nivaranas in Pali. And they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. So according to Lord Buddha, the reason why you are not peaceful, you cannot meditate, is because these hindrances are there. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. Understood, huh? So in order to overcome all these five, you don't have to fight them, understand? You don't have to react to them. You don't have to be unhappy with them. You only need to cultivate the opposite five. The Buddha called it the spiritual faculties, because this will be the faculty that enable you to develop the spiritual cultivation, the spiritual understanding of his teaching. So that's why they are called spiritual faculties specifically. No more mental faculties. Okay? So the five spiritual faculties in Pali are called pancha indriyas. So indriya got an S at the end, I think. Pancha is five. So the five spiritual faculties. They are sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. The English equivalent are sada is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, true understanding who the Buddha is, is the fully enlightened one. And how wonderful his teaching, the Dhamma, is, because it can bring about wisdom that can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. Then virya is the spiritual zeal, the energy, the tenacity that you will develop in your mind to cultivate this way after knowing the importance of his teaching. Then sati is a very, very important spiritual faculty that you need for the development of meditation to understand the truth, the reality. So sati, the equivalent translation is mindfulness. The D is missing, I think. Somebody need to write it down. Mindfulness, not meanfulness. Mindfulness. Then samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. So collectedness and unwavering mind. The mind is missing. Then panya is wisdom. When you have cultivated the first three, the fourth spiritual faculty will arise on its own through your constant cultivation or training. Then after that, when you have sati and samadhi, your mind is different. Sati is, you look at the definition here, sati. Sati here means the silent mind before the knowing. You know what is knowing, When you know something, means what? You already arise the thought to perceive it. Understand not? The moment you know what I speak, you already perceive my voice. Understand not? And there is no longer sati. Understand not? The awareness is before the perception, before the knowing, before the arising of the aggregate of mind. So this sati is when you pay respect to Lord Buddha, body and mind move as one. Means mind is aware of the movement. There is nobody to be aware at all. It's just an awareness. Sati means be with the moment. When your mind is with whatever phenomena, body and mind as one is also sati. Phenomena and mind as one is also sati at all. So if you perceive the vibration, just aware, before the thought tell you that what I spoke, that is sati. But the moment the perception come out, you are already out of sati. But to live life, you need to use thought. So you aware, then you can arise the thought, the perception. It's not a problem. But when you are training, the best thing is maintain this silent mind, especially in a retreat, or when you have developed the daily mindfulness until you are so stable, you can most of the time be silent. Then your awareness, you can be aware of many things. The Buddha recommends the four foundations. First foundation is kaya, form. All of your physical form, movement, action, activity. That's why the Buddha say, bending, stretching, standing, looking for or whatever. You just maintain awareness, mind and physical form as one. Understand that? Means physical phenomena that is peculiar to the physical body. Then feeling. Every moment of perception, feeling arise. You can be just aware of the feeling. The moment the feeling move or stir and become craving, means pleasant, unpleasant, like and dislike, this is already the perception of it, anasana. That's why you must develop the awareness that the mind has reacted. It has stirred. It has created emotion, or what they call craving. Then when you are on the third foundation, which is content of consciousness, means whatever you input into the content of your thought, you need to be aware. And to do that, you must have developed a very high level of sati, stability. Otherwise, you cannot do that. So that's why you start with kaya. Kaya is to anchor your awareness to the form. Where our physical body, the movement is always within the moment. Understand? So when you are aware, you cannot think. You are with the moment. Yeah. So this one will slow down your thinking, slow down your heedlessness. All of your hindrance, the moment you have sati, they will disappear. Understand? No thought, no restlessness. No thought, no doubt. Understand? No thought, there is no sensual desire and ill will. Understand? And you are able to be aware, you won't be sleepy. Understand? That's why the hindrances are all gone. Yeah. So, if you can anchor it to your physical movement, means kaya, more and more, until the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, you can do until throughout the day you're aware and mindful. Your mind is very quiet, very calm, very still, silent. Most of the time, with little or no thought. That is the real meditation. If you can reach that state of stability, then you have finished your kaya training. And then you can go into feeling. Then you can go into the content of consciousness. So when it comes to content of consciousness, I have to explain this. You look at here, the whiteboard on the top. You know what is spacious awareness? You can recall? When you just aware without a center, you know what is a center? A center is a point where you focus. Correct? C-E-N-T-E-R. When you focus, there is a center. Understand? Or when you have sakayaditi, like self-delusion, you speak with that center. Understand? The I, the me, the personality, the ego. That is a center from which you act. Understand? So when the center arises, the thought arises. Understand? Where the thought is filled with the content of consciousness, which is the ego. The me and the I. Before you become enlightened, sakayaditi, self-delusion is always there. You believe this form and mind is what you are. Understand? And you believe the human being is what you are. So this so-called human being this one you need to understand clearly. Who are you? What are you? Yeah. So, this, the human being, the Buddha actually simplified it for you. He said, as a human being, you have two parts. You have first, the physical body. Correct or not? You have a physical body. Correct? Right? Huh? Then what else you have? Huh? You have a mind. Okay? So this one is the mind. Or they call it the consciousness. Physical body made of element, no knowing, cannot be you. Correct? Right? Correct? Right? Whereas the conscious mind is the one that can arise the perception, the knowing. So the Buddha subdivided this consciousness or mind into what? Into four more aggregates. And what are they? What are they? Yeah? What can your mind do? It can think a lot, isn't it? Thinking is sankara, okay? Sankara. Thinking. Okay? Then it can feel, right or not? So this one is Vedana. Then what else? What can your mind do? It can perceive, okay? Sanya. Sanya is perception, okay? So it can perceive. The moment you perceive, the moment you perceive, you can know. Understand? So perception is a quality of mind. Like this Buddha image, my voice. How do you perceive it? Through your seeing consciousness and your hearing consciousness. Correct? Not? When you become conscious, you can hear them. You can see them. Or you can smell, taste, or tactile feel. Or arise the thinking process. Then the last one is what? What is your mind capable of? It can become conscious of things, isn't it? So the Buddha called it vijnanam. Okay? Vijnanam. So this is consciousness. It can become conscious of things. Because we have the five physical senses. We have the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, bodily tactile. Okay? So it can arise the respective five type of consciousness. The eye can see things. You can become conscious of what you see. So this is the seeing consciousness. Okay? The ear can hear things. It can become conscious of what it hears. This is hearing consciousness. Similarly, smell, taste, tactile. Then the last one is your mind, which is also an organ. So the mind can think, understand not? So it can arise thought consciousness, understand not? That's why upon contact of mind, it also triggers mental consciousness, understand not? So the six type of consciousness, they are all here. The six type of perception, they are all here. The six type of feeling, they are all here. Then sankhara is everything that your mind can do. All of your thinking, planning, scheming, whatever mental states, pleasant, unpleasant, wholesome, unwholesome, they are all part of sankhara. So sankhara is actually inclusive of these two. Feeling and perception is also part of sankhara. So this one, we call it the content of consciousness. Here, you have to bring it over here. Content of consciousness. This is the third foundation. Understand? When you do cittanupassana, you're supposed to be aware of the content of consciousness. You're supposed to be aware of whatever sankhara, the mental intention, the mental states, the mental emotion, wholesome, unwholesome, then the mental perception and all the feeling that arise, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So this one, in order to do cittanupassana, you must have very stable mindfulness. That's why you must develop your kaya. Otherwise, you cannot do. Understand? Can follow, huh? So when you add the form and the mind, when you add these two, the Buddha said, this is the first aggregate. Okay? So this is called rupa. Rupa. Then, nama. Nama is mind. So nama, there are four aggregates. Aggregates of mind. Okay? As per above. Okay? Then, rupa, there are two aspects to it. The first aspect is as a human being. As a human being. This is the first aspect. So as a human being, this is the first aspect. Human being. Or actually human body. The physical body. The physical body, sorry. The physical body. Physical body. This is the first aspect. But the second aspect is more important. The second aspect is what the Buddha called the mental five aggregate. Second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Five mental aggregates. So five mental aggregate means they are all in the mind. There is no physical body. Understand? So if you look at these four mental aggregate, every time you perceive something through your consciousness, which of these aggregate brings the external form into your mind? Which one? Like this Buddha image. How you know it's a Buddha image? How does this mental form, external form, enters your mind? No, through the seeing consciousness is correct. But which aggregate? Perception. You perceive it. Understand not? So sanya brings the external form into the mind. Understand not? So that's why within these four aggregates, the moment you perceive when you are not in sati, the five mental aggregate of form and mind will arise. Understand? Because that form enters the mind. Okay? So when that form enters the mind, this rupa become mental form. Understand or not? Came in through perception, sanya. Yeah. This is how the mental five aggregate come to be. Understand or not? This five mental aggregate is what the Buddha talked about in the dependent origination. Understand or not? The dwelling. This one, the first aspect, he just explained to you what the human being is all about. Understand or not? And this one is not in the dependent origination. The one that they use to explain the three period of time within dependent origination, assume that the five aggregate of form and mind is the first aspect. Yeah. So if it's the first aspect, you ask yourself one very simple question. Why must the Buddha teach you something that only happened once in three lifetimes? Understand? Even in one lifetime, not much use there. It can only serve its purpose when it arises every moment, every instant when you live your life. Understand? That is what they call the dynamic dependent origination. So it's all in the book. You read through, you understand. I explain both aspects of it. Yeah. So if you understand this, it will help you a lot in your meditation. Because the main purpose of meditation is to develop the wisdom to free your mind. To free your mind from the first fetters of Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion. And self-delusion is about deludedly clinging and grasping onto this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the two aspects, the human being and the five mental aggregate of form and mind, as the me and the I. And because of that, the ego come to be. The self arise, understand? The I and the me arise. Yeah. So this personality is the one that trigger off your evil root. Because you think you exist, you have this selfishness. You try to own thing and have thing and possess thing. And because you think you exist, you can become emotional, angry, and unhappy. And you can also become fearful. So greed, hatred, and delusion. When you are deluded, there is fear. Yeah. And because of that, when you meditate, if you don't understand what is sati, your silent mind before the knowing, you cannot be aware of it, sitting as they are. You will immediately entangle with the mental form. Because sanya immediately perceives. The moment sanya perceives, what happened? It recalls to the brain, correct? What that thing is. Then you got a lot of views and opinions. And before you become enlightened, you have delusion. That's why you attach, cling, and grasp to everything that you come to perceive. Then through your views and opinion, you react. That's why all of the content of consciousness start to move. Feeling become pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral, and craving. Then your mental state, fear, worry, anxiety, whatever will arise. Yeah. So because of that, the content of consciousness become entangled. Yeah. So suffering is the result. Okay? So because of that, if you do not have the ability to understand what sati is or mindfulness is, it's very difficult for you to actually develop the understanding of the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aggregate. Because you cannot see them. It is too fast. Understand not? Lightning speed. Yeah. And because of heedlessness, this one has become habitual. You keep on repeating. Every time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel and think, your mind is like automatic. Understand? Habitual. That's why you react. There is fear. Even like our brother, I forgot your name already. What's your name? Oh yeah, he called me that day. He said there is something that he need to discuss with me. He said the thought is so powerful. You know? Just that thought creates so much fear, you know? So intense a fear. You know? It affected him so much. You know? that he said he must call me, you know. Then after I explained, he felt so much better, you know. Well, finally, I just tell him, if you understand, means what? It's only a thought. How come he has such power to make you so fearful and so miserable? And to him, it was like so intense, you know, and so real, you know, because that thought projects and create tremendous fear. And that time is really, really something very serious. No? It affected his whole career, life, and even family. No? That's why he called me. And I didn't really know who he is. Then I told him, if you are free, you stay nearby, you drop by. Very difficult to talk through the phone. Then luckily I asked him to call my house landline. Landline more clear. Otherwise the handphone is distortion, I think. And then we spoke for, I think, almost 40 minutes about that. After that, he felt so much better. Because I just explained a little bit about the thought, the five aggregate. Then from there, for those who were not here last Tuesday, I have to explain this again. Spacious awareness means before you focus, understand? This is focusing, okay? Focusing to create the center, understand? When you focus, there is a center from which you focus. Understand? Or act. It's just like when you act from an egoic mind, then that is the center you manifest, the I and the me, or the entity that you call yourself. Understand? From that center you act. Understand? So consciousness has this power to focus and create a center. So what happens is, when you are just aware, when you just have sati, sati is just awareness. Awareness before the knowing. Just awareness, okay? This silent mind is the awareness, okay? That's why it's the red color up here, okay? Initially, your nature just aware. Spacious awareness. When you just silent without a center, without a thought, it is just aware. After I read to you Mahabhava, you know, it took him so many years of meditation, you know, to come to realize that. You know. And you are very fortunate. Within one session, you already exposed to this. This spacious awareness is your true nature. Your nature, which is your true mind. Understand? Without thought, there is no center. It's spacious awareness. Then what happens? You start to focus. Understand? Because you need to know things. You need to perceive something. Like this flower. If you have general awareness, there is nothing wrong. You just have a general awareness of everything. Like your mind is one with everything. But the moment you focus, means what? This becomes your center, understand? Understand? You become conscious of this part only, understand? And this part comes from where? Seeing, understand? So you actually focus through your seeing consciousness, then all of your spacious awareness is gone. Then you shrink your awareness, understand? So this word shrink, you shrink what? Shrink your awareness, understand? Into a center, understand? Then this one become a thought, understand? This one become a thought, and this thought is called citta in Pali, understand? Citta. Okay? For it to become a full-blown thought, the moment you shrink and focus, your content of consciousness will go in. Because through your mundane mind, thinking mind, you have the brain, everything. You will start to perceive, react, feeling, move, then think. Understand? Wholesome, unwholesome, pleasant, unpleasant. Then your conditioned view. As a Buddhist, you will think like a Buddhist. Your whatever belief system, your whatever views and opinion of things will be the basis behind which you act. Understand? So this content of consciousness comes from your mental, what they call conditioning. When you are conditioned into a certain belief system, you will act according to that conditioning. Understand? As a Chinese, as a Buddhist, as a traditional person, or as a modern person, or as a free thinker. All this, they mold your content of consciousness. That's why each and every thought has different content of consciousness. That in Abhidhamma they say, wholesome, unwholesome. Understand? So this is how karma come to be. Cittena, depending on your mental intention, through your views. Wrong view creates wrong thought. Understand? Use of thought is very important. If the user of thought is still deluded, ignorant, which is most of the case when you are still a putujana, understand? That's why you don't try to use thought. But you need to live life, understand? You have to use thought and arise thought. So when you use thought, you have to be very careful. You must have right view, wisdom, understanding. Otherwise, all thought will become wrong thought. That's why suffering arises. So that's why the Buddha said you must listen to the Dhamma. Then you straighten your view. Then slowly and slowly the right view become more and more, more and more. When your right view become more and more, you become more and more heedful, less and less heedless. That's how you transform. That's how the spiritual faculty, when they are developed, it will overcome the hindrance. So meditation is about understanding this whole picture. Okay? So this is recorded, yeah? I hope you listen to it. So it will help you in future. Okay? You have any question? This is how you create thought, asana. From spacious awareness, you focus, then the awareness shrink into a point or a space. Very, very limited and small. That's why Krishnamurti say, thought is limited. Limited in the sense that it has become so small, asana. Your entire nature is the oneness nature. But you choose to shrink it and create a thought. And this thought is egoic. Because without wisdom, it has the egoic mind, the self-delusion, sakkayadity. So thought-based meditation can never go beyond thought. You will be trapped in thought. So you cannot meditate with a thought. That's why you cannot note. You just aware. There is no noting. Who note? The thought note. Who meditate? The thought meditate. The thought try to do meditation. Who is the doer? The thought do. But when you aware, there is no person to be aware. The mind is just silent. The moment the mind is silent, the awareness is already there. And through this awareness, the silent mind, it understands things without thought. The one with the thought one is delusion. So after you have developed the meditation and when you have developed sati very well, very stable, you will understand all this very clearly. Then you can see your five aggregate of form and mind very clearly. Every moment of perception, every moment of feeling, activity of mind, the aggregate are like one part, one part, one part, where the mindfulness can be with it. Yeah. Then it can understand very clearly. Then from there, how it stir, how it condition your defilement, the evil root, to condition you to grasp, to cling, and to make you evil. All this, you will see them in the meditation. Okay? Clear now? Yeah? Slowly, huh? Once you understand this, when you meditate, you will understand things very fast. Then you will clear very fast. Okay, now maybe we can have some meditation, huh? Yes.
So if,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. Okay. Wait. I have to explain this. The space between two thoughts. You remember? This one is one thought. Let's say first thought. Okay? Then there is a space. Then another thought. Second thought. Yeah. If you develop the meditation, you have already stabilized your sati, and then you can do this. Then this one is the space between thought. Correct or not? Space. Yeah? Between thought. So what is this space? This space is silent. Answer that. We have no thought. Correct or not? So silent. What else? Peace. What else? Huh? Ah, stillness. Understand or not? Stillness. Eh? Tranquility. Understand or not? Ah. This one, those who really meditate with understanding, when you just silence your mind, you will experience this, especially in a retreat. But later on, when you become very skillful, when you can bring forth this meditative state into your daily life, in the midst of daily living, you have a lot of space between thought. You're not like before, heedlessly thinking. You know what a heedless one do or not? There is no space. Thought after thought. Continuously chattering. Like non-stop. You try to hold one moment of no thought. You cannot do it. You don't believe you try. But the moment you know how to meditate, you know how to silence, especially in the retreat, many of them experience those moments of space between thought, which is the silence, the peace, the stillness, and the tranquility of mind. It's so different. Before the mind stir, before even arising any aggregate, there was just an awareness inside. Then later, the awareness also ceased to be. And then you realize Nibbana, enlightenment. Cessation of form and mind. Okay? So, Brother Ko asked a very good question. Most of the time, living beings are heedless, correct? Because you think a lot, understand? Then suddenly you aware, understand? Actually, initially, you didn't really aware. The awareness of in-awareness, understand? You can understand. Awareness of in-awareness. When you are aware that you are not mindful, you are already aware. But split second only. Understand? So starting this one is like split second only. Then the next thought immediately follow. You can only develop the stability after you have trained. You don't need to train that true mind. The true mind is already aware. You silent, the awareness is already there. What must you train? There are two types of mind. You know. The first one is first mind. Yeah? It's your true mind. Okay? When you are born, yeah, this true mind functions a lot. Because the baby don't have memory. It's sitting as they are. The consciousness are all very pure, no cunningness, no deceitfulness, and they see without words. Understand? Nobody teach them anything. Understand? The brain is very, very pristine and pure. Understand? But what happens is when you grew up. Yeah. So the second type of mind is what the Buddha called the mundane mind. Yeah? The second type of mind is mundane mind. Mundane is worldly. Yeah? Mundane or? Condition arising mind, asana. Arising, mind. Or thinking mind, asana. When I use this word, you understand it. You think a lot. This is the mind you use, asana. That's why you seldom able to come back to your true mind. The moment you are silent, you already aware. But that is your true nature. Originally, silent, stillness, tranquility. No thought, nothing. Beyond word, beyond thought, beyond mind. So this mundane mind, which is heedless, what must you do? You must? You must anchor it and train it. Understand? Anchor and train. This one you need to train. Understand? Because this is thought-based. Understand? Anchor and train. Yeah. The true mind, no need to train. Anasana. That's why you don't have to learn to be aware. Anasana. You don't have to train to be aware. Anasana. You only need to make sure this mundane mind don't think. Anasana. Silent. And then immediately you contact this one. Where this one is the one that cloud your true nature, your true mind. You cannot see this awareness because you think a lot. Your aggregate keep on arising. Through what? Through your delusion. Without delusion, there is no activity of mind. You remember the 12 link? The first 2 link is what? Avijja, paccaya what? What is sankara? Huh? Activity of mind, isn't it? All your thinking, isn't it? So this sankara, sorry, there's an Asia, I think, is inclusive of feeling and perception. Understand? So this thing is very active. Understand? The moment you have ignorant, you think a lot. That's why the heedless one think a lot. Understand? And who are the heedless one? Still got delusion. One thing to know what you do. You think in it. That's why everything that you come across in life, you don't understand, you think. That's why avijja paccaya sankara non-stop until so habitual. Everything also you want to think. Why can't you just silent and aware? You remember the Krishnamurti code we went through? Yeah? What is awareness? It's the silent observation of what is. Remember? Choiceless observation of what is. Understand? Silent is the silent mind. Understand? Choiceless observation means what? Without discrimination. Without a view and an opinion to go and react to what you see. And what you observe. Means you attentively observe. Without comment. Without judgment. Without reaction. But because of your sakkaya ditti, your ignorance, your delusion, you very actively want to comment. Understand? You interfere with what you see rampantly. Understand? Or what they call non-stop interfering. Because you got a lot of views and opinion of things. Understand? And sakkaya ditti and self-delusion is so powerful because you grasp and cling. And everything also you give meaning. Everything you come to perceive in this universe, all of phenomena like so real to you, understand? So important to you. That's why that thought can make Brother Eric so miserable, understand? So full of fear. Because the company make a mistake in a tender. Yeah. So it can have a lot of monetary implication, understand? Yeah. You don't mind I relate a bit, huh? Thank you. So what happened was, the boss was so angry, you know, actually. Confronted them and gave them an ultimatum. You know. So what happened? The thought start to project. Well, if I don't settle this, company get into trouble, I will be out of job. When I'm out of job, how am I going to go through life and all things? Then, if let's say the boss blame him, because he is responsible for the tender and all things. So all this fear was so real, you know, become so intense. You know. When he called me, I can feel, you know, it was so intense and so real. You know. Then later on, I just asked, I said, can I know what job are you doing? And it happened to be tender. You know, technical thing that I understand. You know. So I say, you don't have a problem, actually. Understand? You know? Then he cannot understand. I said, what you mean? I said, even let's say that company belongs to you, okay? Okay? Worst case scenario is what? Huh? Worst case scenario is what? Huh? Let's say, penanti, you cannot pay. Worst case scenario is what? Bankruptcy only, what? I said, not alive and dead. You don't go to prison for this. You know, this is not cheat, no. This is not CBT, you know. I said, it's only money, and I said, debt. I want to pay. I cannot afford to pay. But in this case, it's a contract, no? It don't have to be that way, you know. Because you understand contract, then no such thing. So worst case scenario already so simple, understand? No? Compared to people with cancer, 3 months, left with 3 months life, 6 months life, that is worse, isn't it? Or
financial problem where the loan shark is after you. That is worse, isn't it? But this one just a tender, isn't it? So I asked for more detail. He said, actually, they quoted this tender based on a supplier from overseas who quote them. Understand? Then in that quotation, they were very specific. So they quoted, they got the job. Then the client wrote in and say, they want all this to be included in that supply contract. Understand? Then they go back to the supplier. Supplier said, no, what I quote to you doesn't include all this. Understand? It has cost implications. Oh, so that's where the problem become like real. So they were all panic. But then I say, what is the contract? Contract is offer and acceptance. Understand? You put in an offer, a technical offer, you already qualify and say, this is the machine, this make, this brand, this capacity, everything I offer. Understand? You can have a specification that wanted a lot of things. Understand? But my offer is based on this, based on the firm price. Understand? So if whatever deviates from this offer means if you want things to be added, then there is cost implication. You can write to them, understand? Write in a very nice way. Worst come to the worst is go for arbitration. And arbitration is going to take a long time. They cannot afford. So they have to resolve it amicably with you. So you say, okay, what I can do is maybe I can knock off my profit. Yeah? I allow you to deal direct with this entity that allow me to import or procure this whatever offer that I give to you. You want this, whatever they quote, we negotiate, then you top up with this price. And then we resolve it amicably. Then I will just provide service and all those things for free. Yeah. These are all the possible way of resolving all this issue. Then after that, he said he felt so much better. Then that fear, no more. But he asked me that question, which is very true. But how come that thought is so powerful? Can be so intense, no, that fear, and so real, no? So I say, who gave the thought that power? Who? Huh? Who? You yourself, isn't it? Through your delusion, you project. That's not. If you don't project, thought loses its power. That's not. Thought is very scared of what? What is the reality? The reality, if I can understand and accept, thought got no more role to play. Thought only have a role when I don't want to accept this reality. Let's say somebody close to you or your loved one got into problem where you cannot accept that reality. So what happened? Because related to you, your thought has power now, project into the future. What if? And then trigger off all the fear. If it's not somebody related to you, no such thought, means what? You can laugh, isn't it? Ayo, that guy is sui. But when it's related to you, how come that thought becomes so powerful? You become so miserable, so afflicted. This is attachment. There's no difference, no. Loved one also form a mind. No. Other people also form a mind. And when you know that they are all anatta, non-self, then you don't have to hold on to all this. You have to hold on to the reality. Reality is what? First noble truth, the Buddha said. All living beings, you are subject to this eight condition. Just like Kapa Singh, I saw all the SMS. This is one of the reality. There, it has to happen. When? And it happened in a car crash. That's why a lot of people become very, very affected. Which is normal, because form and mind is still emotional. But the reality is, you have to accept the fact that he is no more with us. He, like everybody used to say, he's a great politician and a great, what they call lawyer, who really fight for justice and all those things. We lost a great person. But that is the reality. But it doesn't mean that it will stop there. But because of what he has done, he has set the example and condition for future people to be like him or better than him to come about. Especially a few months earlier, if you read the paper, when he was charged with what? Sedition. He said, Kapa Singh will never die. There will be more of the tiger to arise. And that was a very, very, very profound statement. And all lawyers in the legal fraternity, they respect him like anything. Because he stand up for justice. And he really, really very precise in law. But what I want to share with you is not political. It's more understanding the reality of life and existence. And the other thing, I don't know how many of you saw. Uncle Lim, Lim Guo Tong, the elder son also passed away. You saw the paper? Yeah? You didn't know? Oh, a lot of you didn't know. You only look for people you know. So, life is like that. This form and mind is not you. When the time comes, consciousness separate, you call die. Nobody die. No one die. But if you cling, grasp, and attach, you become afflicted. You become miserable. That's enough. Okay, we have enough of sharing. We must do some meditation now. I give you about 20 minutes. Then we can continue with your second session. Okay, I off the light. You can start your meditation immediately. For those who already know, immediately meditate. For those who are still new, you only need to remember, initially you need to train your mind, okay? Just silent, aware. Then, if you need to train, use the mind sweeping method, metta, to anchor the mind and train. Then after that, anchor it to anapanasati or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. Then train that mind and just silently relax state of form and mind, maintain awareness. Awareness is the silent mind without thought. Okay? For those who already know how to meditate, it's very easy. You just have to either continue with your training of anapanasati or mindfulness training. You already train until you are very stable, then you can silence everything and stay at the heart. And just feel. Don't think. Then all of your understanding will come. When you are silent, that true mind will start to stabilize. Then you will be very sensitive because the mind is aware. Without thought, it's very, very sensitive. Then it can feel, it can perceive, it can even become conscious. Then all of the movement of sankhara, it can be aware. And the moment you are aware, the energy of awareness is so much more powerful than the thought. Thought ceases to be straight away. But you must have more and more of this awareness, silent mind, so that you can have this ability to stabilize it and develop the meditation to understand clearly what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. The five mental aggregate. Okay, now you can start your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes.
For those who still want to continue with their meditation, you can. For those that are now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we can continue with the second session. Okay, just like what I promised you just now, I will read to you this part. That Ajahn Mahabhuva, you all heard of Ajahn Mahabhuva, Long Tao Mahabhuva. He just passed away recently. He was one of the most well-respected Thai meditation master in Thailand during his time. So he just passed away at the age of almost 100 years old. So this is the latest book that we've sent it to us. Because our Kayanamita Fund also every year we donated to WAVE, and they did a lot of wholesomeness by participating in their Katina. They actually go to many places all over the world. I think easily 30 to 40 meditation places or centers all over the world. And they do a lot of Katina offering. Then throughout the year, they also print a lot of Dhamma books. So these are also the Dhamma books that we contributed. Then every year, he will send me some. Then I distribute to Kayanamitas. And there is also a list of donations. So they also actually try their best to acknowledge. But this book, I just got about a week from her. So we only managed to get about 12 copies, I think. I have distributed all except this one, which I need to read to you. So if you need, you can ask from WAVE. This is part 2, Forest Dasana, volume 2, by Ajahn Mahabhuva, Jnana Sampanyo. It's a very good book. So here he relates his experience of the cultivation of the Dhamma. But I happened to flick through and I saw this part. On the mind. So I think in the first chapter he already stressed this. He said some very important basic teaching on the mind he called chitta. Chitta. He's trying to explain what I explained to you. And this was after he has meditated so long, then only he realized this, the deathless element and all those things. So Mahabhava sees the essential enduring truth of the sentient being as constitutive of the indestructible reality of the chitta. He called it the heart or the mind. But he didn't use the word true mind. He used another word. He said which is characterized by the attribute of awareness. He also finally realized that there is this mind that is only aware. Then he put another word, or knowingness. He never said there's a knower. No. He said it can be aware, then it can know. Understand? No? Know means the moment you know, means actually perception already. Because the two minds are very close, related actually. This chitta, which is intrinsically bright, clear, and aware, gets superficially tangled up in samsara, but ultimately cannot be destroyed by any samsaric phenomena. He is talking about the pure mind, the true mind, before it becomes defiled. Then when it spins through the first thought of ignorance, spin, stir, and migrated into samsara, gets superficially tangled up in samsara. But that nature ultimately cannot be destroyed by any samsaric phenomena because it belongs to the unconditioned, not the conditional. Although Mahabhava is often at pains to emphasize the need for meditation upon the concept of non-self or anatta, he also points out that the chitta which get caught up in the vortex of conditioned phenomena
is not subject to destruction, as are those things which are impermanent, suffering, and non-selfish, that exhibit the characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. The citta is ultimately not beholden to this law of conditioned existence. Means the anicca, dukkha, anatta, universal characteristics of the conditioned phenomena or conditioned world, that true awareness is not subject to it. He said the citta is bright, radiant, and deathless, and is its own independent reality. Means what? It's not dependent on anything to arise. It's already there, intrinsically there. Not like the mundane mind. Mundane mind need condition to arise. Understand not? What are the conditions for mundane mind to arise? You must have what? Your 18 sense rhyme, you forgot already. You must have what? An organ that function, correct or not? Then you must have sense data. Then you must have mind to make contact, understand or not? These three things will trigger off the arising of the mundane mind. That's why it's condition arising. Without condition, it can never arise. Because our consciousness, like I draw on the whiteboard, is trapped inside this human form. Understand not? You look at this one. See? Your consciousness is trapped inside. Understand not? And your physical body, you got the five physical senses. Understand not? Then there is a brain that can make your mind operate as another sense. So because of that, it's trapped inside. Anything happen to this physical form, there is tactile phenomena. And you can experience them. That's why there is this sensation within the tactile phenomena. When you have pain, you have gastric, or you have emotion, everything, you can feel them through your tactile mindfulness or awareness. Then all the other senses can, upon contact of this conscious mind, trigger off the respective consciousness, like seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. So all this is possible because of this citta, this mind. But this mind got two aspects. That's why Ajahn Mahabhava is very, very careful. So he investigated for so many years through meditation to realize this very important understanding. That's how he freed. That's how he finally become enlightened. So he said, being intrinsically bright and clear, the citta is always ready to make contact with everything of every nature. Understand? That's why this citta or consciousness is trapped in your body. And because of that, being intrinsically bright and clear, the citta is always ready to make contact, understand? With practically everything of every nature. Although all conditioned phenomena, according to Ajahn Mahabhava, without exception, are governed by the three universal laws of anicca, dukkha, anatta, the citta's true nature, that's why he used the word true nature also, is not subject to this law, because it's beyond, it's the unconditioned. The citta is conditioned by anicca, dukkha, and anatta only because things that are subject to this law come spinning in to become involved with the citta, and so cause it to spin or stir along with them. Means what? The sense data that you receive, understand not? External sense data means how do you know the world? Through your perception, is that the external phenomenal world, understand not? Everything that you come to perceive through your consciousness, they enter your mind through sanya, understand not? This is the one that are subject to the three universal characteristics of impermanent. The moment you grasp and cling, you suffer, understand not? And because they are impermanent, they are not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. So it is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's subject to change, condition arising. That's why it's empty, anatta, non-self. But through your delusion, you cannot see, understand not? And you get it mix up
in your citta, it become like entangled within. Yeah. So through your delusion, you grab, cling, and give meaning. That's why Ajahn Mahabodha said, the citta is conditioned by anicchang, dukkang, and anatta only, the word only, because things that are subject to this law come spinning in to become involved with the citta, and so cause it to stir along with them. However, though it stir or spin in unison with conditioned phenomena, the citta never disintegrate or fall apart. He realized that the true awareness never disappears. The essence of mind is always there. The one that come and go is the conditioned arising mind. He came to realize this. It spin or stir following the influence of this, those forces which have the power to make it spin. Means your craving, your delusion. But the true power of the citta, its true nature, is that it only knows and does not die. This deathlessness is the quality that lies beyond disintegration. Being beyond disintegration, it also lies beyond the influence of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, and the universal law of nature. The fundamental problem that beset human beings, according to Ajahn Mahabodha, is that they have taken the false or the fake as the true. He used the word true self, means your sakayadity, and lack the necessary wisdom or power to be their own true nature. They allow the wills and deceit of the mental defilement to generate fear and anxiety in their mind. This is what thought is capable of, when you deludedly give them power. Fear and anxiety, are not inherent within the citta. He knows. They are conditioned arising. They are not intrinsic within your citta, anasana. In fact, the citta is ultimately beyond all such things, and indeed is beyond time and space. But it needs to be cleansed of inner defilement, the kilesa, before that truth can be realized. Then Mahabodha states, our problem, our one fundamental problem of humanity, which is also the citta's fundamental problem, is that we lack the power needed to be our own true nature. Means you cannot come into contact with your true mind. He called it the true nature. Instead, we have always taken the false or the counterfeit things to be the essence of who we really are. We thought the five aggregate of form and mind is what we are. That's what he tried to mean. So that the citta's behavior is never in harmony with its true nature. Rather, it expresses itself through kilesa. Kilesa are defilement. Cunning deceit, which causes it to feel anxious and frightened of virtually everything. As a result, the citta is forever full of fear and worries. And although fear and worries are not intrinsic to the mind or the citta, they still manage to produce apprehension there. When the citta has been cleansed so that it is absolutely pure and free of all involvement, only then will we see a citta devoid of fear. Cleanse means there is already wisdom, means defilement got no more power over you to stir and create all those defilement within. Then neither fear nor courage appear, only the citta's true nature existing naturally along on its own, forever independent of time and space. Only that appear, nothing else. And that is the, he called it the genuine mind. Actually, it's the true mind. Asana. He used the word genuine citta. You see, only after he realized this, only he free. That's why it is really not easy during that time. Mahabodha goes on to attempt to describe the inner stages and experience of the clean
chitta. He call it clean chitta. Actually, it's the enlightened mind. Understand? The mind that has already developed the wisdom. That's why the chitta is pure, clean. When its purgation of defilement is complete, it itself does not disappear. Only the impermanent, the suffering, and the non-self disappear. The chitta remains experientially abiding in its own firm foundation, yet ultimately indescribable. That's why word cannot describe, he knows. And then this one, he defined it very well. He said, once the chitta has become well cleansed, that it is always bright and clear, then even though the chitta has not converged in samadhi, the focal point of its awareness is so exceedingly delicate and refined as to be indescribable. Means beyond words, you cannot talk about it. This subtle awareness manifests as a radiance that extends forth in all directions around us. You know what is he telling you? The spacious awareness. Understand? In all directions around us. We are unconscious of sound, sight, odor, taste, and tactile sensation. See? There is no conscious or perception. Despite the fact that the chitta has not entered samadhi. See? Instead, it is actually experiencing its own firm foundation, the very basis of the chitta that has been well cleansed to the point where a memorizing, majestic quality of awareness is its most prominent feature. Seeming to exist independent of the physical body, this kind of extremely refined awareness, awareness, stands out exclusively within the chitta, due to the subtle and pronounced nature of the chitta at this stage. Its knowing nature completely predominates, means there is an awareness. There is no images, no vision there at all. It is an awareness that stands out exclusively on its own. This is one aspect of that true, genuine chitta. Then another aspect is seen when the well-cleaned chitta enters meditative calm, not thinking or imagining anything, ceasing of all mental activity or movement. It simply rests for a while. All thoughts and imagination within the chitta comes to a complete halt. This is called the chitta entering a state of total calm. Then the chitta's essential knowing nature is all that remains. See? Pure awareness. Just that pure awareness. No center. Except for this very refined awareness, an awareness that seems to blanket the entire cosmic, see? Oneness nature. Absolutely nothing else appears. Distance is not a factor anymore. To be precise, the chitta is beyond the condition of time and space, which allows it to blanket everything. Far is like near, for concept of space and time do not exist. All that appears is a very refined awareness surfacing everything throughout the entire universe or cosmos. The whole world seems to be filled with this subtle quality of awareness, as though nothing else exists, though things still exist in this world, as they always have. The all-encompassing flow of the chitta that has been cleansed of the thing that clouds and obscures it, this is the chitta's true power. That's why only this true mind can understand things, can awaken to phenomena, can realize the truth that is beyond thought, beyond time. So Ajahn Mahabodhi realized this. Then he said, the chitta that is absolutely pure is even more difficult to describe, since it's something that defies definition. I don't know how I could characterize it. It cannot be expressed in the same way that conventional thing in general can be, simply because it is not a conventional phenomenon. It is the sole province of those who had transcended all aspects of conventional reality and thus realized within themselves that non-conventional nature actually is the unconditioned. For this reason, words cannot describe it. Why do we speak of conventional citta and the absolutely pure true citta? Are they actually two different citta? He said, not at all. It remains the same citta. When it is controlled by conventional reality such as kilesa and asava are latent tendency, that is one condition of the citta. See? Means this one stir, the mundane mind. Understand not? The true mind never stir, but it comes from the same source. Understand not? But when the faculty of wisdom has crumbled, it cleans until this condition has totally disintegrated. The true citta or the true mind, the true Dhamma, the one that can understand and can stand the test, will not disintegrate and disappear along with it. Only the condition of anicchang, dukkha, anatta, which infiltrate the citta, actually disappear. That's why that true mind will see things as they are, not as conditioned phenomena, not with the conditioned mind and views and opinion. No matter how subtle the kilesa may be, they are still conditioned by anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, and therefore must be conventional phenomena. Once these things have completely disintegrated, the true citta, the one that has transcended conventional reality, becomes fully apparent. That's why your true nature will shine forth when your heedless thinking stops. Yeah? This is called the citta's absolute freedom, means the mind liberates itself. Or the citta's absolute purity. All connection continuing from the citta's previous condition have been severed forever. Now utterly pure, the citta's essential knowing nature remains alone on its own. That's why this one is independent of everything. Since this refined awareness does not have a center or a point, it is impossible to specifically locate its position. There is only that essential awareness or knowing, with absolutely no infiltrating it, nothing infiltrating it, although it still exists amidst the same skandhas, which is the aggregate of mind, with which it used to intermix. It no longer share any common characteristics with them. It is a world apart. Only then do we know clearly that the body, the skandhas, and the citta are all distinct and separate reality. So this part is so beautifully described by Ajahn Mahabhoa. That's why he also has developed the understanding. Otherwise, he cannot describe that true mind as such. Okay, you got any question? Or can you understand what he say? Can you understand him or not? Not easy, Actually, he used more words. It's more difficult to understand, because they are monks. You sure would understand, because these are very technical words. And he come from that training, that forest tradition. And they speak using Dhamma. Whereas I use day-to-day words to share with you. And I put it like that, easier for you to understand. True mind is awareness before the knowing. So no need to describe so much. Because this one is from somebody who went through and understood already. That's why he used all those words to describe to you. And he took him so long, to come to that realization. That's why it's not easy to connect to that nature, I tell you. Normally, by the time you connect, you already more than 80 years old. One of my teachers told me, you're about to die already. Then only you connect to that point, that gateway, to realize that true nature. And that one really not easy. So that's why, like I used to share with some of you at the retreat. I was very lucky.
This life, I was very lucky. You can say luck, but not really luck. Luck in the conventional sense. It was partly because my vow, my nature, that nature, through that vow, created the condition for me to meet with my last teacher, who actually showed me and explained to me that there is a gateway there. Then I located it when I was very young. I was very lucky. Otherwise, from my nature, it tell me I need at least 10 to 15 years on my own to look for it. So in that sense, I consider very lucky. Otherwise, at the age of 60, I cannot be telling you all these things. You have to wait for another 20 years to understand all this. So all this year, we have the condition to share. If I share last year or before, nobody understand, I tell you. But now it's different. Now the consciousness is different. There are some of you who have the past. They are starting to connect and understand. Even yesterday, or not yesterday, Tuesday class, 2 days back, there was a girl, new girl, quite young. I think 30 over to 40 years old. Now you will be very surprised. She never come before to the class or no. She only came to my Tuesday class 5 sessions only. She was from Johor. No? Happened to seconded down here to do audit and help some audit firm, tax on. Not audit firm, any tax company or what, to set up the system. Then he happened to have a colleague who come to my Tuesday class. Then through very funny conditions, she decided to come. No? The moment she arrived, the first lesson, she already knew that my house there, the way I share, suddenly he connect inside. And so many things happened. Then she waited until everybody go back already. Almost midnight, she come and approach me and say, "Can I talk to you?" I say, "Can." He just asked me one very simple question. Then I knew she has a part. Otherwise, she cannot understand what I say. First lesson. No. Then after that, I explained to her the Four Noble Truths. Oh, she was filled with joy. No. She never heard that type of truth before. She was with all sorts of Buddhism, but she can never understand the real Four Noble Truths until I explained that. Then after that, she attended 4 more sessions. No. Every session, she just sat there, and I can see the joy inside her. No. Then every session, she changed, she transformed. Then 2 days back on was the best. So much thing happened, and she had so much joy. She used to have one question that was very long since her birth until that week before she came for the Tuesday class. 2-3 days before that, it was still probing. There is this question of understanding who am I, what am I. Even when she came to my house, that question was there. The inquiry was there. So she sat there and meditated. Then when I share something like that, with the Krishnamurti quote, everything, there was so much joy. You know, after the session, she told me what? She said, "Brother Teo, my question disappeared. It answered itself." She understood it completely. Then she just said, "Nothing belongs to this nature. Nothing. Even all the thought, the emotion, the feel." Last time she cannot understand. Then she somehow said one. "This form and mind come to this world to just experience. Nothing else." So fast, she can connect back to where she was. I said, "Sadhu to you." She has the wisdom already, she connects with her. But virtue she lacks, so she need to cultivate virtue this life. So she was so full of joy. And 5 sessions on here, he only come for the Tuesday class. No? And he didn't talk on. She just silent sit. Then he said every time she sit, the heart there like open up. And the thing just came in. And like everything she starts to understand so fast. That's why you can never know.
You don't think that, like I told you at the retreat, I saw someone, everything also don't know. That one is the best. When you think you know too much, that is knowledge. It can be a, what they call, a block, anasana. It can actually hinder you. Too much knowledge actually is a hindrance. But if you have an open mind, then no problem. Then knowledge is useful. Knowledge is useful. And for her, she doesn't know anything. Really don't know anything. Clean slate. Very clean. Then she cannot come to terms with many things in life. She questions every aspect of life. She really wants to understand life. That's why the inquiry makes her very different. And the moment she can felt that real thing, she can really connect on it. And when she connects, she moves very fast. That's why it's possible. You don't underestimate your own path. When it connects, it moves very fast. Very, very fast. Okay? Okay, we still got about 20 minutes. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can. Anybody? Bilan. Bilan smile. Sure got question. I'll pass the mic, sorry. She's from Australia. I only met her at the retreat. Oh, the sister also very good in Dhamma. She came for the Sunday Wu Ping Jing Se class. Just push it out. Can? Oh. You try?
Hello?
Ah, yes.
Hello?
Ah, can already, yes.
The other day at Miss Lee's
temple. Yes. Wu Ping Jing Se Vihara.
We were discussing a little bit with Mimi.
Yeah.
And then the mindfulness thing was not so clear again to us.
Very good, very good.
So could Brother Teo explain it again?
Can, no problem.
Thank you.
Because this is the most important quality, the spiritual faculty that you need to understand. You remember the Buddha before he enters Parinibbana? What did he say? What was his last advice to the monk? Apahamadena sampadeta. What does it mean? Strive on the heedfulness. See this word? Strive on with what? Heedfulness. Understand or not? What is heedfulness? Luckily, I didn't rub off. What is heedfulness? Equal what? Ever mindful of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So in this world, there are a lot of people with mindfulness, but they are not heedful. You understand that? They are mindful, but they are not heedful. Those who practice Tai Chi, they have a lot of mindfulness. Understand that? Even Qigong and all those things. But they use it to develop something else. Understand? They don't use it to develop wisdom. Understand? The Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, okay? You know what they are now? What are the Four Noble Truths? Four Noble Truths. What are they? The first one is the noble truth of dukkha. He never say life is suffering. No. He said there is a noble truth that explains clearly to you what suffering is. No. When you have not yet developed the wisdom, is it? When you confront these eight realities of life and existence, where each and every living being who live long enough will confront, you will definitely become tormented, or you will be afflicted. Suffering will arise. And what are the eight conditions? The first four is birth, old age, sickness and death. Then separation from a loved one, and the possession you hold on to or cling on to. Separation can come in many forms. Through death, through divorce, through forced separation or nature's disaster, tsunami, all those things. Even nowadays, negative. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, then when you cannot get what you want, your expectations in life are not met. Understand that? The final one is the Buddha summarized all, is it? In short, it is tuned to your delusion, is it? Self-delusion, sakkāyādhiti, that condition you to grasp and cling on to this so-called fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that they belong to you. You are what this is. When you grasp and cling deludedly to this fine aggregate of form and mind, the physical body, the external mental form, and the aggregates of mind, suffering will arise. He called it upadana kandas. Grasping aggregate is the cause of suffering. So this one talks about the reality of life and existence. All of life is covered under the first noble truth within the conditioned world. Understand? You don't believe me? You go and check. We have the final summary is what? This fellow, understand? You come to this world, you use this form and mind to live in there. That's why all of life is covered under this five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the final summary is like that. And this one, wherever it's born, it will have to go through old age, sickness and death. It will have to experience separation, understand? From the things you think you own, understand? Your loved one, your possession and all things. Then you got desire. You want things your way, understand? When you cannot get what you want, you become afflicted, understand? Then there are people whom you don't like, understand? Difficult people. That's why, in short, you deal with this five aggregate of form of mind, day in and day out, every moment, every instant. That's why suffering is a noble truth. You understand this, you can become enlightened. What are noble truth? Truth that can make you a noble one or enlightened one. So actually, this four noble truth is technically the secret of life. Understand? When you understand this four noble truth, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live. Because this four noble truth not only explain to you all aspects of the conditioned existent world, all aspects of mundane life, even the supramundane, the enlightened state are all explained there. So all of life, mundane and supramundane, are all there. So first noble truth talk about realities of life and existence, noble truth of suffering. Then he didn't stop there. He tell you there is a cause behind all this suffering. And the cause is essentially sakkāyādhiti, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling. Craving is the cause of suffering, he said. So that is the second noble truth. If you know what is suffering, you know the cause, you will know how to manage your life in there. Can I not? Then the third noble truth is the best, he said. Suffering need not be. There is a noble truth that talks about enlightenment in the here and now. Nibbana can be realized. That will give you a lot of confidence in there. Can I not? Then he didn't stop there. He said there is a fourth noble truth that talks about the path that can lead to this enlightenment. This ending of all suffering. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you will realize the enlightenment in the here and now. That it leads to the end of all suffering. So you meditate to become enlightened, correct? So that you need not suffer. This is the meditation. That's why whatever you do with your mindfulness, if you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha to become enlightened, it is called heedfulness. Otherwise, it is not heedfulness. Understand? Like I played badminton last night. A very skillful one. A very mindful one. All the stroke. That's why I execute the stroke without thought on it. When I smash, it just jumps. Understand? Because you are so skillful. Understand? That's why when you are so skillful, everything you do is spontaneous. Understand? You just know how to return. Understand? You just know how to, because you are so skillful. You want to go net, you will go net. You want to go baseline, you will go baseline. That is trained. Understand? when you train, you have a lot of mindfulness, you no need to think one. You execute through, they call it spontaneous and sound. One flick, like, the shot go already. The one need to think and aim one, miss the shot most of the time. Or you hit also, the racket and the shuttlecock not in one, understand? Like body and mind in one is awareness, sti, understand? So when you execute a perfect shot, means your timing, everything is correct. Then when you execute during that split second, spontaneous flick, that's why it go very fast, very precise, understand? That's why you like can have control over it, understand? It's just like thought. You become so mindful and so aware, you can use thought, understand? Like you return that shuttlecock. You want to, like this mind after it's trained, you want it to be silent, it's just silent. That's not. You want it to be peaceful, it's just peaceful. It's just like you want it to go net, it go net. That's not. That is the trained mind. After you have trained, you have mindfulness, you can do that. That's not. Then you say, how come those people can become so skillful? It's like badminton, train. That's not. Yeah, your mundane mind, you need to train. The moment that fellow is silent, then no need to train already. Then that thing become part of you, part of your nature. That's why the true mind will just shine forth. It was there all the time. If you are not heedlessly lost in thought, entangled in thought, thinking that this mental fire aggregate of form and mind is what you are, then your awareness will shine forth. You can only do one thing at a time, remember? Either you aware or lost in what? Either you are aware of what is or lost in. When you think, what happened? Thinking is what? Preoccupied with what you think, isn't it? Correct? So when you are preoccupied with what you think, you are within such a narrow space, understand? How can you be aware of the rest? Understand? Understand? That's why when you think, you are preoccupied with the thought, with the emotion inside. Sometimes you talk to yourself, understand? You get angry with yourself, you chatter like the Krishnamurti said, the noisy mind. Understand? This is what you do. In this small space, you exist. And you think you're hella or great. Understand? Actually, this is delusion. Living with unawareness. You are conscious of life, but you are not aware at all. There is no inner awareness of what is the reality. That's why you cannot see things as they are anymore. You are not aware of phenomena anymore. Because you are preoccupied with the thought process and thinking. That's why when you are aware, there is no thought. Otherwise, how can you be aware? True or not? So sati is like that. Now you understand. Don't think. Silent. The moment you're silent, you're attentive. Then you're aware. Like now, aware. Don't even focus. The moment you focus, you are gone. But awareness can be two types. One is with the phenomena. With the phenomena is not a generous, spacious awareness. This is general, spacious awareness. Okay? So I write, yeah? General, spacious awareness. Understand? Huh? Okay? First one. Second one is what? Attentive but not spacious. Attentive is without a focus, without a center. Understand? The mind is with the phenomena. Understand? Like you walk, body and mind as one. When you bow, the awareness and the body as one. Understand? Means the passing car. When you aware, the phenomena and the mind as one. Understand? You understand? Even my hand move. The mind and this one as one. This is what they call mind and phenomena as one. Understand? So this one is not the general spacious awareness. This is the second one is like phenomena and mind. Or the awareness. Awareness. As one. Understand? In harmony. Understand? That's why you can be aware of kaya. Kaya nupasana. Understand? Nupasana is doing. No is contemplative wisdom. Pasana is to insight into it. Sana. So, using the kaya, you can reflect and contemplate to develop the second turning wisdom. Then through that stability of that wisdom, you can meditate and insight into phenomena to understand the three universal characteristics. That is kaya, nu, pasana. Then when you stabilize that kaya, you can go into citta. Or you can go into Vedana. Then finally, Dhamma to liberate your mind. So your question is, what is Sati? What is Sati? Sati is the silent mind before the knowing. When you are silent and aware before the knowing, that is Sati. So that's why when you walk, you just body and mind move as one. You don't go and note anything. Noting is what? Labeling. You go and check. Krishnamurti say what? Verbalization and labeling dulls the mind. Because you are using thought, understand? And thought is idea and concept, not the reality, understand? You want to meditate and insight into the reality, and you go and use thought, concept, and verbalize. Understand? So how can you see the reality? Your instrument itself doesn't allow you to see, understand? Because you need to be aware. Aware means what? Let the phenomena tell you the story. Understand? Through the thought means what? The thought got a lot of Dhamma, a lot of knowledge. The conditioned mind wants to understand, wants to develop wisdom. So what it do? It try to meditate. It try to note. Then after that, it try to compare. Oh, is this anicchang that the book say? Or Ajahn told me. Is this the insight? When you do all this, you ask yourself a very simple question. Are you meditating? Your thought is actively trying to know. Understand? And who is trying to know? The thought. And what you know is all knowledge. Understand? Not reality. Understand? That's why you cannot insight the phenomena. When you insight into phenomena, like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is pachetang. Understand? And the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. If you use thought, which is an instrument of time, psychological time, you can never realize something that is beyond thought, beyond time. Understand? And thought is the byproduct of your true mind. Understand? So how can thought see awareness? Cannot. Only awareness can be aware of thought. Understand? You follow that? So to be aware is very easy. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. Understand? And it can be either general awareness, which is spacious. That's why when you're silent, that nature, like Ajahn Mahabodhi realized, no space, no time on. It is one with everything. Understand? Yeah. And that one can only be realized when you are really, really silent. Completely silent means not only space between thought, just silent, no thought. Deep silent. Then this silence finally also cease. Then only you realize Nibbana, return to the source, one with everything. The source is the source of all things, the origin. That's why in the Mahayana they call it Pen Sing, original nature. You heard of it? Pen Sing, the true original nature. That is the source of all things. Okay? Can follow that? But you don't try to live life with awareness, no. This is only enlightened one can do, no. You do like that, you get accident everywhere, I tell you. Understand? No? Initially aware, then perceive, no problem. Understand? No? Thought arise, aware. Understand? No? Use thought. But initially, when you are not enlightened yet, try not to believe the thought too much. That's why the Kalama asked the Buddha asked them to check. How you check? If people advise you to do something, whether it's right or wrong, how you check? By following their advice, what happens? Does it harm others and harm you? If it doesn't harm others and harm you, you can apply, anasana, or follow the advice. But you only apply this to people's advice. You never apply this Kalama Sutta to your own thought, anasana. Your own thought is selfish, egoic. You never ask, no. If I follow this selfish thought, does it harm others? Surely harm others, isn't it? Because it's so selfish, isn't it? Correct? Then selfishness cannot arise, anasana. But you never apply, anasana. Because this one is your own thought, no. Okay, one lah. He wouldn't know one lah. Like, especially in the government office, akong one lah, never mind one lah, can take, can use one lah. Nobody know one lah. Everybody also take one. You justify, understand? Then you try to justify further, then you say, the fifth precept, Buddha say middle way ma, drink a little bit, can. You go and justify everything, you don't need to cultivate already, understand? Because your mind is like that, understand? Why you want to do that? Because there is selfishness. You cannot see. There is delusion. You cannot see. Anasana. You apply Kalama Sutta to your own thought. You wake up, I tell you. You completely wake up. Anasana. That's why Noble Eightfold Path also, people talk about right view. But how many people understand what the Buddha meant? What is right view? And this is very seldom really, really shared and taught. Then right thought. They only tell you the four Brahma Vihara is right thought, but they never explain what is wrong thought. That's that. How you learn, anasana. That's why when I try to share, I keep on reflecting. I say, how can I let living being understand all this? Then that nature tell me, they don't even know what is right thought and wrong thought, no. They only know the theory, you know. Right thought, metta, karuna, mudita, and upeka, they can rattle to you. Like first noble truth, life is suffering. He think he know already. That's why you never learn one like that. Like that you sure date on. This is knowledge. You never inquire. No second turning. No meditation, no third turning. The Dhamma that is supposed to follow this first, second, third turning that corresponds to the three types of wisdom that we call Sutta Panya, Chinta Panya, and Bhavana Panya, you only maybe do the first one, Suttamaya Panya. But that one also not Panya. That one is knowledge. Suttamaya knowledge, not Panya. And you think you already know. That is the worst. Not even the first turning, he say he know already. That's very difficult to penetrate. What time already? Oh, sorry. We exceeded 5 minutes. Did I answer your question? Good. I hope through this, you can slowly develop the understanding. Now with the whiteboard, better, easier, clearer. Because I Tuesday class always use this one. That's why they come Tuesday class, they learn very fast. And a lot of them are very new. And those who are already long time also, every time they listen, they think they know. There is a lot more to know. You ask Mimi, she will know. She can tell you. She already very good from the past all day. But every time she comes, she says, "Well, it is so beautiful. I need to go back and write it out." But really, if you can write it out, means you understand. Asana. Without looking at this, you can use your handphone, one shot. Then don't refer. Go back, try to write out. I can guarantee you, first time, liabok, you are blank. The word all not there. But never mind. On your handphone, see again. Then write it down. Then it go in. Anasana. Slowly, slowly. Because these are new to you. If you have cultivated before past life, then not so new. Anasana. Then immediately you listen, you connect. Then after that, it will understand by itself. But not everybody has that. Anasana. So you need to do according to what your past is. Some, you have not have enough faith. You have not have enough spiritual faculty to connect. asana. So you develop the spiritual faculty, make your faith very strong. Then when you listen, the saddha virya and the sati will actually connect. Then after that, when you connect, your past you inherit, then you go back to your level very fast. Then you can bypass, save a lot of time. Yeah? Just like what happened to me. Yeah. When I came with that understanding because my past was very different. Yeah. So, in a way, yeah, it is meant to be because in this life, there is a condition for it to arise. Then those who have affinity, they will connect. So because of that, yeah, I really, really rejoice with all those who can understand, who can have the condition to meet up with this nature and benefit. Then in future, you can also share with others. And if you really seriously determine with the faith, you will progress very fast. Then you make determination. Because I am still young, you are still young. 60 is not old. A lot of people like Mahabhava, 98, I think. But there are some like Lord Buddha, 80. So still 20 years. Not too bad. So you can still take your time. But don't wait too long. Because nothing is guaranteed, like Kapa Singh, suddenly. Even Lim Go Tong's elder son, I think he's quite young. Because his second son is my year, Lim Kok Tai, same age as us, 60, I think. No, the eldest brother is 69, but the Lim Kok Tai that take over is our year one. He is also a civil engineer. Okay, we end. We will do the... yeah, you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to the departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, now we do the invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukamina sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patya. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
Thank you.